The Scott Horton Show is brought to you by the Future Freedom Foundation at FFF.org. Join the great Jacob Hornberger and some of the best writers in the libertarian movement like James Bovard, Sheldon Richman, Anthony Gregory, Wendy McElroy, and more for a real individualist take on the most important matters of peace, liberty, and prosperity in our society. That's the Future Freedom Foundation at FFF.org. Hey ladies, Scott Horton here. If you would like truly youthful, healthy, and healthy-looking skin, there is one very special company you need to visit, Dagny & Lane, at DagnyAndLane.com. Dagny & Lane has revolutionized the industry with a full line of products made from organic and all-natural ingredients that penetrate deeply with nutrient-rich ionic minerals and antioxidants for healthy and beautiful skin. That's Dagny & Lane at DagnyAndLane.com. And for a limited time, add promo code SCOTT15 at checkout for a 15% discount. Hey y'all, Scott here. As you know, I've been laid off from antiwar.com, and I've embarked on a mission to make this show into a real business. And as you can tell, I've been doing alright at lining up some sponsors, and some great ones at that. But it isn't enough, so the perpetual fund drive rolls on. The Scott Horton Show needs donors and more advertisers if the show is to outlast my meager savings. So please, stop by scotthorton.org/donate. You can make single donations or sign up for a monthly subscription with PayPal. You don't need an account with them to do so. Or use Google Wallet, WePay.com, Give.org, and now even accepting Bitcoins. And if you own or represent a company or organization interested in sponsoring the show, please email scott@scotthorton.org so we can work it out. That's scotthorton.org/donate. And thanks. Our first guest on the show today is Nathan Fuller. From BradleyManning.org, the Bradley Manning Support Network. Welcome to the show, Nathan. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Appreciate you having me on.
Well, I'm very happy that you're here. Now, you guys have events, and I want to hear all about them.
Sure. Our next big event is this Sunday, September 30th, in Washington, D.C., at the Georgetown University Law Center. We have authors, activists, whistleblowers getting together to speak out for Bradley Manning. Most prominently, we have Chris Hedges, who just sued the Obama administration for the unlawful NDAA. NSA whistleblower Thomas Drake, DOJ whistleblower Jesslyn Raddick, who also oversees the Government Accountability Project, former Colonel Anne Wright, who's retired in protest of the Iraq War, and then we have friend of Bradley Manning, David House, who will talk about our financial situation and the imperatives of supporting Bradley's defense fund now.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to be such a bummer, but is it okay if I say how disappointed I am that you're not saying, yeah, and the chair of the New York Bar Association Committee on this, that, and the other freaking thing are there too? I mean, where the hell are all the lawyers in this society?
Well, it's actually being co-hosted by the National Lawyers Guild, so we do have some legal support in that regard.
Well, that's good. Yeah, the Lawyers Guild, they do good work a lot of the time.
They do.
This is the fundraiser, or the fundraiser is a separate thing?
Yeah, we'll be asking for small donations at the door, and then David House will make a pitch for bigger donations at the end of the event. We'll also be hosting some other fundraising events, especially over the next 6 weeks, because we have a so far anonymous donor who has agreed to match one-to-one any donations over the next 6 weeks.
Really?
Yeah, so
that's
some big
great
news.
Man, yeah. You need a giant banner at BradleyManning.org that says matching funds.
I know.
Because that's, well, we need really a great incentive for people to help out.
Yeah, it's a really huge deal, especially in a really big time of need. We need to pay David Coombs to continue defending Bradley Manning throughout this really long and protracted trial.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, I really don't know enough about it, but from what I know, it seems like that guy's doing a pretty good job. Is that basically the consensus of BradleyManning.org? Is y'all are happy that he's the lawyer here?
We're definitely happy with his various legal arguments so far. He's been really strong,
yeah.
I think, anyway.
That was my impression.
And actually, Bradley is pretty confident, too. The most recent comment he gave was that he is in high spirits and really confident in his legal defense. So that's really all I need to hear.
Yeah, that's great. All right, yeah. Now, so here's the thing, you know, we could talk about, you know, some of his likely defenses, because, I mean, a lot of that is really interesting, right? Especially where the president, the commander-in-chief of the armed forces, has already announced that he's guilty. to a military tribunal that's all made up of his subordinates. So the judge and the entire jury, too. I mean, that's really problematic right there.
Definitely.
And I guess, you know what, yeah, let's go ahead and talk about that stuff. I kind of wanted to go back and sort of talk about the story of Bradley Manning in the first place for people who aren't that familiar, but we can put that off for a minute. I mean,
okay.
I think they know in the broad strokes who he is anyway. So let's
right.
talk about that, about how, hey, any other circumstance, the president announces you're guilty before your trial. That could really be problematic for your prosecution.
Yeah, I mean, it's really been under-discussed, I think, and I think it is going to come up a little more prominently when Coombs brings it up in court again. It's totally unlawful for the president, and actually also General Martin Dempsey, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, also said that Bradley violated the law. And so now we have superior officers already ruling on the trial. I mean, you know, how can we expect Colonel and Judge Denise Lynn to fairly adjudicate now?
Right.
It's really, you know, precluding a fair trial.
And also, and you know what I'm trying to think, I think I asked the other Scott Horton, who's, you know, the legal expert on everything in the world, about this,
right.
but I can't remember what he said, whether there's like an official legal standard that says if the cops torture you, you've done your time and they can't really prosecute you much after that, or they shouldn't anyway, that kind of thing.
Well, there is. It's unlawful to punitively treat someone in prison while they're awaiting court-martial. And so our argument and lots of scholars are arguing that Bradley Manning's treatment at Quantico was psychologically torturous and therefore punitive, not actually in the interest of preventing an injury, which is what the military said it was about. Clearly about punishing Bradley Manning for stepping out of line, for maybe punishing Bradley Manning in an attempt to get him to flip or something on Julian Assange.
Yeah, that really appeared to be it, right? They're trying to make the case that Assange had talked him into liberating the documents in the first place. And so
right, although there's...
Now he's not a heroic whistleblower. Now he's a partner in a conspiracy to commit espionage.
Right, and there's no evidence of that from anything we've seen, that they even talked directly. It's Julian Assange said he hadn't heard of Bradley Manning until he was in jail.
Yeah, I mean, and that's plausible, too. That's how WikiLeaks works, right? Is I don't
right.
want to know your name, but thanks for the documents. That's
the
whole
idea
point.
Behind it. That's the way it's designed.
Yeah. Well, now, can you give us any other insights into the... I'm not trying to help the prosecutors here, but I'm very interested in other great points that ought to result in the releasing of this guy. I mean, is the judge, for example, even going to allow the argument that he did it for good reasons, not bad ones, and that is a defense, that whistleblower, not traitor, is an important distinction here? Or are they just going to stick, you know, the charges so narrowly to, well, he put a thing on an unauthorized CD, and so that's the charge only, but we're giving him life for the unauthorized CD?
Unfortunately, it's much closer to the latter thus far. The judge has accepted the prosecution's argument that Bradley's good intentions to expose war crimes is not relevant to whether or not he, you know, violated his oath to keep these documents secret.
But now they are charging him with espionage and not just putting a file on a CD, right?
Well, the way that's why it's narrowly worded. So they say he indirectly aided the enemy by putting this information online, means that he knew that that Al-Qaeda could look at WikiLeaks.org. Not saying that he would. Or that they would, not that he knew that, you know, trying to directly communicate with Al-Qaeda or anything, but that indirectly, and that's enough, they've argued thus far, to put him in jail for life.
Well, what about the argument that he was pressured to participate in war crimes in Iraq, and that's apparently what broke him in the first place?
Right, and I think that is going to come up. We've seen from the chat logs that Bradley was not interested in following orders to keep these crimes secret. An intelligence analyst who had a look at all these documents that are, you know, concealing crimes, and he was the one brave soldier apparently willing to go against that. But to go back to your other question, before there are some other, I think, strong arguments to come, in late October, David Coombs will bring the motion to dismiss for lack of a speedy trial. Bradley's been in jail for nearly 900 days now. Case law suggests that a fair trial would have, or a speedy trial would have started nearly 2 years ago after 120 days. So I think that's going to be a big deal coming up. Then there's also the motion to dismiss for punitive pretrial treatment is abuse at Quantico. That's going to come up near the end of November. So that, I think these are pretty strong and varied legal arguments that Coombs is going to bring in the months to come.
Yeah. Well, it really is the kind of thing where it sounds to me anyway, like if the law's the law, then this kid's going to be free. I keep calling him a kid. He's not a kid. This young man will be free to go because, you know, for example, the prejudice of having the Secretary of Defense and the President pronounce him guilty beforehand, that kind of thing. All of these things, as you mentioned.
Right.
But, you know, I wonder, you bring up the speedy trial there, another great argument as to why he ought to be set free. And, but it makes me wonder whether you have any insight into why they've delayed so long.
Well, it's pretty, complicated the way the prosecution has withheld documents throughout this year. They've, kept emails secret for months that revealed more information about Bradley's, pretrial confinement. They withheld documents about the State Department's reaction to WikiLeaks. So they sat on these for months and months, and then finally the judge forces prosecution to hand over documents. And then Coombs is then therefore forced to request delays so he can process all these new documents and bring new litigation from them and potentially new witnesses. And so the prosecution forces the defense to ask for delays, looking like the defense is prolonging the trial when in fact to get all these documents, we need more time. So it's really a tough situation.
Right, yeah. I mean, well, at least he shouldn't have any trouble making the case that the only reason for the delay is because they wouldn't come forward with the documents that they said they didn't have and then later admitted they did. And
right.
Obviously, right, it's not like it's a defense order. It's the judge's order to turn over everything.
Right, and the judge has done that thus far, so it'll be interesting to see if she follows through with that and actually holds the prosecution to account for unjustly delaying this trial for no good reason.
Yeah. Now, you know, I don't know if people know about this, so I like to mention it because I think it illustrates the at least in the old law, the precedent. When Charles Manson was on trial, Richard Nixon said, well, you know, something to the effect that everybody knows he did it or something like that. And then he took it back. And it almost caused a mistrial. But he was like, so sorry. Cause, oh man, I know better not to do that. I should have never said that. And, you know, he deserves the fairest trial he can possibly get. And blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, in this case, first of all, in that case, Nixon had no authority whatsoever. It was a state court and a state trial, a state murder trial. He wasn't in the chain of command anywhere. He had nothing to do with it. He was just the head of state in that. You know, kingly sense or whatever, the Queen Elizabeth sense or whatever.
Right.
Whereas in this case, Barack Obama and Leon Panetta, they are the top two guys in the military chain of command. I mean,
exactly.
They're basically saying he's guilty and that's an order. How is any officer on that jury supposed to interpret that, or even the judge? How are they supposed to interpret that any other way? Now we're supposed to rely on their willingness to defy an order from the president to do the right thing in order for the kid to even have the young man to even have the chance at a fair trial? That's not right.
Exactly. It's totally
ludicrous.
Can't
be right.
No, I mean, we're expecting a colonel to go against these two commanding officers. It's just, it would be unheard of. And she probably feels like her job is on the line, which is a really terrible situation for these commanding officers to put her in. It's really not anything close to what we can consider a fair trial. It's really just making a mockery of their own uniform code of military justice. It says right there, not allowed to unlawfully prejudice the trial, and yet they've done it and not felt bad about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, and that's the thing, too, for everybody who's, you know, really mad at Bradley Manning and want to see him persecuted, well, tough. The president shouldn't open his big fat mouth then. You know, that's kind of the deal. It's just like if they find drugs in a house, but they didn't have a warrant, they've got to exclude the evidence and it's not allowed a trial.
Exactly. I mean, people say so, you know, so solemnly that Bradley Manning broke the law. He broke his oath. And yet they do not hold the same principle to our highest officers or even the criminals that Bradley is said to have exposed. These people have committed summary executions or hidden torture or covered up civilian casualties. These people aren't on trial. You know, where are the people who ask for the rule of law to be applied evenly? You know, why aren't they, are they talking about these people?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same kind of thing. It reminds me of, which at the time I didn't participate in the whole caring about this at all, but now it still makes an interesting case study or whatever, the O.J. Simpson thing back in the 1990s, where people acted like the only question was whether he did it or not, rather than the question being whether Marsha Clark proved to the jury that he did it or not. And that was the question. And so, you know what? It's, I'm not even in favor of the system, but that's the system, is you get the best assistant DA that the DA that you elected can hire, and they do as good as they can. And if they can't do good enough, then tough. Sometimes murderers walk free. Then hire a better assistant DA next time. But that doesn't mean you just go ahead and convict people even though they weren't actually proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And that goes for hiring the LAPD, who are all dumb enough to traipse up and down all over the crime scene for 4 days, you know, in their muddy boots.
Right. People are so eager to hold the persecuted, you know, to say he broke the law, you know, regardless of presumed innocence, but are totally afraid to hold the same standard to those in power. It's really asymmetrical, is an understatement by far.
Yeah. It's really sad, I'm sorry, but we really do live in an age where you have to repeat these basic things. Like, you know, the reason we give somebody a trial isn't because we're soft on murderers, it's because we want to make sure we got the right guy. And these kind of very basic things you have to really repeat out loud and explain to adults in American society right now, because they don't get it. You know?
Yeah, they seem not to.
Why not? Why shouldn't every criminal get a military tribunal if we know we're all guilty once the cops lay their hands on them?
Yeah, it's pretty disturbing.
But that's just the way it is. So, and then, now, tell me this, because I'm not very good at understanding what everybody else, more or less, kind of thing in this society thinks. But it seems to me like the best that the state could do as far as destroying Bradley Manning's reputation in the public sphere was to attack his sexuality, and basically to say he was a sissy and so he couldn't hack it, and so he broke like a little coward or something and uploaded these files. Like, that's basically the worst kind of slander that they could come up with to use against him. And it seemed to me like, what are you kidding me? I don't care about that at all. That's so pathetic. It just makes me like him even more. That's all they can come up with to attack him for is who he is, when what he did is so plainly heroic. And I just wonder whether you get the feeling that that's pretty much the way most people took that, or did that really work? Did they succeed in smearing Bradley Manning and making him the bad guy to the American people, to any large segment?
Well, I think the sexuality element is especially cruel given the way the poor treatment that he received while in the Army from his fellow officers. You know, they're going to treat him so poorly for his alleged gender identity issues and his sexuality. They're going to treat him so cruelly for that and then blame him for that later on is really a cruel distortion of events. But no, I don't think that's the most effective argument that they've made. I don't think that has really sunk in, that they've smeared him for sexuality. I think they have instead smeared him as a traitor. They're trying to associate whistleblowing with terrorism, you know, putting documents online for the American public to see. You know, they don't care about that. They care about whether the fact that Al-Qaeda could look at these documents. And that's where it's really disturbing to see how effective they have been in some regard in showing that, you know, people consider him a traitor when he actually is really acting in the interest of an informed democracy, accountable government, transparency. Basic.
You know what I was doing there is I was just kind of personifying the New York Times as the man and you know, they, what they, you know, want to do, because that's what they did. That's what the New York Times did, was smear his sexuality. But that's not all of the media. You're right. And that's not all of the state.
Right. It's a pretty varied persecution, I guess.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk some more, Nathan Fuller from BradleyManning.org, the Bradley Manning Support Network, about how people can help this young man, how they can donate to David Coombs' legal efforts to defend his life. Because that's really what we're talking about here. His life is on the line because they're trying to charge him with what amounts to a life term, correct?
Yeah, a life without parole is what they're seeking.
So, I mean, really, everybody, you know, are you going to let the greatest American hero go to prison for life when you could actually help do something about it? You can't.
It's terrible. But people can help. And as I said, over the next 6 weeks, we're going to have matched donations. So any dollar you give is actually $2 to us, and it's a huge help. So, yeah, BradleyManning.org, you can find out. You can easily see how to donate there. You can host a party near you and spread the word about Bradley Manning. You can attend or organize events anywhere near you. We have events.bradleymanning.org shows those events if you want to find something near you. And there are a lot of different ways you can help. If you're near D.C., you can come to the hearings at Fort Meade. If not, you can hold a rally near you.
Yeah, that's great. And you know what? Here's the thing, too. I'm terrible at the call to action. I never, you know, I complain a lot about what's wrong in the world. I never tell people, here's what you ought to do about it. And people ask me a lot, yeah, but what can we do about it? Well, here's something extremely important that you really can help do something about when it's not too late yet. Come on.
Right. There's time yet to save this person from who cared about us, who sacrificed his future for our, you know, democracy. And you can do something about it in the next few months before his trial starts February 4th, help him save his defense. You can.
Hell yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Nathan. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Everybody, that's Nathan Fuller from the Bradley Manning Support Network at BradleyManning.org. In an empire where Congress knows nothing, the ubiquitous D.C. think tank is all. And the Israel lobby and their neocon allies must own a dozen. Well, Americans have a lobby in Washington, too. It's called the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org. They advocate for us on Capitol Hill. Join CNI to demand an end to the U.S.-sponsored occupation of the Palestinians and an end to our government's destructive empire in the Middle East. That's the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org. Hey, everybody. Scott Horton here for LibertyStickers.com. If you're like me, then you're right all the time, surrounded by people in desperate need of correction. Well, we can't all have a radio show, but we can all get anti-government propaganda to stick on the back of our trucks. Check out LibertyStickers.com. Categories include anti-war, empire, police state, libertarian, Ron Paul, gun rights, founders quotes, and of course, the stupid election. That's LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck. Hey y'all, Scott Horton here. After the show, you should check out one of my sponsors, WallStreetWindow.com. It's a financial blog written by Mike Swanson, a former hedge fund manager who's investing in commodities, mining stocks, and European markets. Mike's site, WallStreetWindow.com, is unique in that he shows people what he's really investing in, updating you when he buys or sells in his main account. Mike's betting his positions are going to go up due to the Federal Reserve printing all that money to finance the deficit. See what happens at WallStreetWindow.com. And if you'd like to sponsor the show too, let me know at Scott@ScottHorton.org.